are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Journeys Unconventional with me, your host, Allie Buckley. On this podcast, I will be talking about my unconventional journey and will be joined by a handful of exceptional guests who all have beautiful journeys to share with you as well.
Keep listening and remember, be still. There is light at the end of every dark tunnel.
Okay, so I have on with me today one of my best friends, if not my best friend, Dakota Nicholson. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and see what this is all about.
This is going to be so fun. I first want to introduce you to everyone. Let's give like a little background on who you are, what you do, where you come from, how we know each other. Kind of give a little spiel on yourself.
Okay, that was so much in one. So I'm sure you're going to have to remind me what I have to talk about. But as Allie said, my name is Dakota. Currently, I am a fourth grade teacher and I live in Providence, which I love. Anybody out there that hasn't been to Providence, go because it's amazing. Allie and I know each other because we're family friends. Our families are friends and we've just kind of developed a lifelong friendship from that.
I always joke that you're more like a sister or a cousin to me than a friend because I feel like we're at the level now where we're just past that friendship. We're just so comfortable with each other. And I always value our friendship because I think there's just something so special between you and I. We are like so different, but so the same, and it works out so well.
I don't know how it works so well because we are so different, but
yeah, I definitely question how well we, how well we make this work out, but it works for us. So it is what it is. So today I have Dakota on with me to talk about her dad. Her dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, correct?
So he never got an official diagnosis with either Alzheimer's or, you know, something else cognitive going on. But based on how he acts and everything, he's got something going on, Alzheimer's, dementia. We just never got him officially diagnosed.
Today I wanted to bring Cody on because I think you have such a great mindset in regards to the situation that you're going through right now, 25 years old, going through something like this. So I think your story is pretty unique. I wanted to bring you on in case someone else was going through something similar where you could bring some hope and some comfortability talking about this. I think that sharing a story, if you have something relatable, I think there's some sense of comfort in hearing someone else going through it. So hopefully we can bring that message to you guys today, is staying hopeful during these really tough times. So let's start from the beginning, Codes. What's your relationship been like with your dad?
I mean, so my parents got divorced when I was probably around 3 and they split their time 50-50. So I've always been close with my dad growing up. You know, I was over at his house half of the time all throughout elementary, middle, and high school. My dad has always made a point to make it known how much he loves me and cherishes our time together. We've done a ton of trips out west, doing hiking and traveling all around different national parks. And, you know, even when we were home, it was always going to the Cove, which was like a little local swimming spot, or playing cards or dancing in the living room. Like, there's just always been something that he's done to let me know how much he cares and loves me.
When were you first realizing that your dad was showing signs that something was going on? Obviously, you probably didn't know what was going on at the time, but when did you first start to realize that something was going on?
I think probably sometime like late middle school, early high school. Like, I specifically remember he would pick me up from school. He would always ask me what I had to do for homework. And then we would talk. And then I started noticing like 20 minutes later, he would ask me again what I had for homework or how much homework I had. And that's sort of my first memory of like being like, it's sort of weird that he's asked me 5 times on the way home what I have for homework. Like, this is just, something's not adding up. And like, you know, I brought that to my parents' attention or to my mom's attention and my uncle's attention, who, you know, loves his brother and has always been like very involved in the picture. So they knew very soon on their own accord as well. But I started noticing in high school or middle school.
Did you say that you were the first one to start to pick up on the signs, or were you the first one that was maybe more vocal about it?
I think I probably brought it up more so, but I think we all probably started noticing around the same time, you know, especially when things got like a little bit worse, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. But then it was like a very common conversation for us to have.
Right. Right. So you had mentioned that some of the signs that you were seeing were like more of like a repetitive type conversation that you were having with him. Were there any other things that were going on aside from just having this kind of, okay, wait, you just asked me that kind of moment? Was he doing anything that was incredibly concerning to you, or was that not until more later on when things started to progress?
Yeah, I would say early on, it was really just like the repetition of our conversation. It wasn't until later that we started noticing some other, you know, things that we were like, well, this is not adding up. Something's like, this is getting worse kind of thing.
Yeah. Your dad's always been a super active guy, very outdoorsy, loves to take his hikes. He never stopped doing that, right? That was always something that he loved to do. And even when he was starting to go through all this, that never was something he forgot to do or stopped doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, my dad and I have traveled since I was young. We started going out west and we would go to, you know, Glacier National Park and Yellowstone and, you know, the Sequoias and everything like that. And we would hike all around out there. We would drive all around. Like, we just love being outdoors. And my dad, even when he's home daily, he would go for walks. He carves hiking sticks, like whittles them. And I think that was like a big influence too, that he likes to like test out the different hiking sticks that he's carved. And like, he was always super active, going for walks, making friends, new places, etc.
Has that type of behavior rubbed off on you? Because I know through our friendship, you are the type of person that like, you would love to go for a hike and you'd love to go for a walk. I feel like whenever I'm talking to you, you're always on a walk. And would you say that you can credit your dad for kind of passing down those habits or activities that you love to do now? Would you say that he's the reason why you do a lot of the things that you do?
Oh, absolutely. My dad is so sociable, even now with the Alzheimer's. Like, that's not a quality that he's lost. So a lot of times, we, you know, when we'd adventure, go for walks, we'd meet a bunch of new people and he'd always strike up a conversation with them. And I think that's something that I love. And that's one of the reasons why I like to walk and adventure, so I can see new people and new things and make new friends and everything, and been the catalyst for my love of travel. I wish when we were traveling, which probably started when I was like around 7 or so, taking these big 2-week trips out west, I wish that I knew how important it was then and had appreciated it then. Of course, as 7, 8, 10, whatever, however old you are as a child, you don't really know how important those little moments are. Definitely now as an adult, especially with what he's going through, I have valued those moments immensely and been trying to like recreate them on my own, or, you know, with friends or other family members. I just think that, you know, the moment you stop moving, what's the point kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like you said it best, like a huge part of your identity, like you love to travel and like you love doing all those things. And I think that's so cool that your dad has given you that like wanderlust of traveling. It's funny, like there's a quote in The Office and I'm going to totally butcher it, but it's something along the lines of, I wish I knew I was in the good moments when I was in them. Because so often I look back and I think to myself, with my brother who died 3 years ago, I think, wow, oh my God, if I only had held on to that moment a little bit tighter, or if I, like, I kind of kick myself sometimes because I'm like, oh, I wish I remembered a little bit more. Like, and as humans, I think when you lose or you're going through a loss or you're dealing with something that you know kind of is an inevitable loss down the road, you look back and you're like cherishing all these moments and you're kind of like, God, if I only had more, if I only like held them tighter. Like, and I think that what's super important to do is to look back at those times and just be thankful that you have them, because the fact that you have those memories with him at all is amazing. And he's given you so much, and so much that he is lives within you. And I think that's so cool. Like, I know your dad and I know you, and before your dad got sick, like you said, he was so personable and he loved to talk. He's the kindest, most gentle, sweet person. And while you are always not that, you definitely have character.
What are you talking about?
I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, I think about with myself with Tim, like there are such great qualities that I feel like I have living in me now that I got from Tim that you absolutely have with your dad. And I think that you can walk away from all of this and know that like, he's always going to be with you. Even now, where he's at and what he's dealing with, like, you know that his heart's always with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the big things too is like, what have I learned from this experience? And like, that's just valuing the moments that I do have. You know, I say, oh, I wish I knew how precious those moments were when I was in them. Well, like, now I have the opportunity to have all these wonderful moments and, like, take a second and be like, whoa, I need to stop and think, like, I'm not going to have this moment again. And, like, I need to think about, like, how do I feel and what am I seeing and, like, even, like, smells and feeling and stuff. Like, I like to really try and take in as much as I can and, like, kind of store it. And actually recently I've been thinking, and like, I started this a while back and I just stopped for some reason, but I used to keep like a little jar where when I had a good moment, I would write down the moment and the date, or like, you know, I might write down like the range, and then I put it in the jar. So like on a bad day, I, you know, could read it back, or like, I've always kind of thought a little bit more long-term too, like, you know, if I ever have dementia or Alzheimer's, or, you know, am in a place where maybe it's harder for me to remember, or I really need to appreciate those good times, I could just go back through it. So that's something that I'm looking to start up again. But I think that's like a big thing that I've taken away from my situation with my dad is like, you know, we can always say, oh, I wish I knew at the time, but like, we could put that into fruition and be like, okay, well, I know at some point I'm going to want to remember this moment and value it. So let me take a second now to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a much more healthy, hopeful, positive way to look at the situation. Cause I think it's super easy when you're in these moments and you're going through them to feel like, oh my God, I'm the only person in the world going through this right now. Why me? And like, cause I know I felt that way before. I don't want to speak for you, but I think it's easy as humans to kind of be like, wow, like, why is this happening to me? Why am I being put through this? And I think what's like super important to keep close to your chest is to know that anything that's thrown your way in life, and I like to live my life knowing this, is any battle that's given to me, I know that no matter what comes my way, I have the strength deep down to get through it and overcome it. And I think that so much beautiful stuff can happen in a really sad, sad story, and you can make something really cool out of it. So like you're saying, like for you moving forward, because it's something that you could potentially end up with, you're taking this moment and saying, how can I make this better down the road for myself? How can I potentially make this easier on me? How can I make this, you know, lighter, better, like whatever, and taking this moment and learning and molding and becoming an even better person and preparing for a future that you want to have. And as we all know, we are not in control of what happens, and what will be, but if we can try to take steps towards the direction we want to go, I think that obviously you'll lead yourself to where you want to be. So I think that's a really cool idea that you would write down some of your favorite moments and data. So what I'm going to ask you next, though, is let's say you did that with your dad. With where your dad's at right now in his state, would he be able to recall a memory like that, or is that not something he'd be able to do?
I think it's sort of weird right now just because I almost don't know where he's at. I think, you know, with COVID happening, I haven't seen my dad in probably like 4.5-5 months at this point. It seems like such a short period of time, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but with somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia, that gap can really, there can be a really big difference between what you knew before that gap and what you know after that gap. So of course I try and keep in touch with him via, you know, FaceTime or Zoom or phone calls or whatnot, but it is a little harder not being in person to kind of get a grasp on where he is. So do I think that he would remember the trips that we took and all those big moments? If you asked me that 6 months ago, I would say yes, because he had this really weird memory where like long-term was totally pretty much intact. He had like very distinct and clear memories of his childhood and growing up in Hartford and his family, and he would be the type of person where he couldn't remember what he just asked me 5 minutes ago, but like could tell me exactly what city, you know, in Arizona we did a certain thing in. So 6 months ago, yeah, these were memories that he definitely had and cherished and could tell you specific things about. However, now I'm not sure, based on conversation over, you know, Zoom, that he would be able to give you specifics, but I think he would at least know, like, these are things that we did travel out west, and we did that every year, and, you know, we had amazing times out there. I'm just not sure that he could recall any of the specific things that we did at this point.
Right. Well, and I think there's something to be said for, you were saying that you first started seeing signs back in what, high school, you said?
Probably early high school, late middle school, yeah.
Okay. So, and for you, not that you're like super old or anything, but that was a while ago. The fact that your dad, even up until about 6 months ago, was able to recall that, really, to me, I think speaks volumes about like his ability to recall, his, you know, his brain and his intelligence. Up until 6 months ago, he was still able to recall events that happened when he was younger. I mean, that's incredible. Even going through something like that.
Absolutely. And I think it really speaks to the human brain, which is that we, you know, we let go of useless information that we don't really need. And we hold on to the things that are really near and dear to us. So of course, eventually he's going to forget all that. He won't know who any of us are. But you know, up until this point, he can't remember something I told him 7 seconds ago, but he can, you know, remember the really important things. So.
Well, that's good to know, because any embarrassing thing that ever happened in my life, when I get to that age, hopefully I won't remember.
I'll remember you. No need to worry.
You can make sure to humiliate me while I'm in like a nursing home.
I'm going to write it down and I'm going to put it in my jar so I can pull it out 60 years.
What you need to put in the jar are my embarrassing moments.
That's actually a whole separate jar. Allie's embarrassing.
Who do you lean on the most for support during the moments that you're feeling really low about your dad?
Typically, I turn to my uncle, who is my father's brother and super close to him and super involved in what's going on.
Let's just explain your uncle's role in your life a little bit too. So your Uncle Dale is Lenny's brother, your father's brother. He is the younger brother, but he plays caretaker big time and has been a huge person in Lenny's life throughout all of this, and has been a huge person for you as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, my dad and my Uncle Dale are, you know, as close as can be. I think my, you know, there's an age difference between my dad and my uncle of about 20 years, probably not that much, but maybe 15. I don't know. I'm not going to do the math right now, but enough where my dad took care of my uncle for a long time as he was growing up. And now the roles have sort of reversed themselves. And my uncle and I are super close because of this situation, probably closer by far compared to other nieces and uncles. I would say he's sort of up there as a third dad, because I also have a stepfather. So we talk about it all the time. It's usually a more logical thing. I mean, we talk about our emotions. It's not something where we typically like cry to each other or anything. I'm also not super emotional when it comes to it. I think I've sort of put up my walls a long time ago in regards to this topic. And usually with me, it's more logical. But every once in a while, I will just completely break down. And usually the people that I go to are, you know, my friends. I feel like they're there for that reason, to, you know, comfort you when you need sometimes. And also, I just feel like I don't like to burden my own family with my emotions. As weird as that is, it's kind of like a block I've put up. Like, I need it to be my emotions. I don't want necessarily somebody else's emotions coming into the few times that I like choose to really get out how I'm feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so typically I will turn to a friend like Allie, the host of this podcast, or my cousins that are on my stepdad's side of the family, but I'm super close to them. Those are usually the people that I'll go to with stuff like this. So
I definitely would agree with that. I think that you do a good job of relying on your people when you need them. I think it's interesting though, because for somebody like you, I know in the times that we've spoken, like, I just know in general, like, you are not a very emotive person. And then there's me, who's just like all emotion. Sometimes I wonder if that's why we work so well, because we are such a good balance of emotions and not emotions. I think that what's interesting is when you and I talk, I feel like, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there's a layer of it though, that like you kind of are a little bit more emotional about it with me at times. And I think that it's important for you to be emotional about it. And I never want to be like, why aren't you crying? This is weird. Because sometimes that's just not how people express their emotions or their sadness or their anger or whatever. Everybody's so different. But like for me, for instance, like, I'm a crier. I get angry. I have all these things and I'm very outward about them. You are not.
I don't know. I think it's a little different, just because, you know, when it started getting pretty bad, I was already in college. So I either lived with my mom full time, just because my dad's memory was getting bad and we moved him to a small apartment, so he wasn't in as much stuff. There were people close by to him to help him and so forth. So I was either, you know, at college living in an apartment with my boyfriend at the time, or at home living with my mom, or right now I'm in Providence at my apartment. So you know, the time when it really got bad, it's sort of a lot easier to detach yourself when you're not directly there. If I was around him 24/7 seeing what it was like for him, I think I would definitely have a lot more emotions. I'd be a lot more frustrated having the same conversation over and over again and realizing that, you know, it's not his fault, and right. trying to like remedy how do you have a conversation with your own father when he can't remember what you're talking about. And I would definitely feel a lot more sad about, you know, there's a face every person with Alzheimer's and dementia gets, I swear, when they realize that they just have no idea what's going on. And it is the saddest face you will ever see. And, you know, at times when I have seen that face or seen things like that, it's definitely weighs on me a lot more, but it is easier to handle it and not be so emotional when you're not around it all the time. I would be a mess all the time if I would, you know, around him 24/7, because it's super, super sad to see when you're in this.
It's exhausting too. I think that, like, not only is he going through it, but when you're living with him and he's going through it and you're witnessing it, and then on top of that having to take care and help, I think that it becomes not only this, like, it's heartbreaking to go through and it's heartbreaking to watch, but like you add another element of emotion, which is exhaustion. And then like that makes it that 10 times more difficult, because as we know, our fuse shortens the more tired we get, and you need incredible patience to be dealing with somebody that has Alzheimer's or dementia, because like you've stated, they are very repetitive. They are confused. They don't know where they are or who they're around or who they're speaking to. And it's something that you need to approach with gentle care and caution. And I think that if you're exhausted and you're dealing with all these other things, it would make for a really bad situation. So I think that, like, and we haven't said this, but your dad is in a home. He's in a nursing home.
Yeah, I don't think I've said that. Yeah. He's in an assisted living home
cared for by professional caretakers.
Yeah. He's in the memory care unit, and like, God bless all those people that help hundreds of people every day that have no idea where they are, don't know who their family is, don't know who they are, etc. Like, that is a big, big job and responsibility to do. And thank God for them, because they've made my life so much easier. Because if I was going through this without that as an option, I think I would have a lot different of a mindset than I do.
Absolutely. And I think too, the support that you've received from family members so that you're not dealing with this on your own has been so incredible. I mean, again, your uncle and then what your parents have done. I mean, Tom, your stepdad, has stepped up so much to help in regards to everything. And then, you know, just the support around you is so intense. I feel like you guys did exactly what you needed to do. You got him to exactly where he needed to be. And I think that you can go to bed at night knowing that, like, the responsibility doesn't fall directly on your shoulders, and you have that support to know that you're not alone. He's okay. He's going to be okay no matter what's going on with his mind at that moment. The people that are around him are there to take care of him. And like I think you said, like, the situation would be completely different if you guys didn't have the ability to put him into a home.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't imagine if my situation was different, where I was 25 dealing with a father that has Alzheimer's and didn't have the family support that I do. And I think it, you know, helps me rest a little easier too, because as much as my dad forgets, like, we're all so close to him that there is no way that he would ever forget that he was loved or feel unloved. And, you know, in the end, I think that of all the things to remember and know in this world, it's that you are loved. And he doesn't ever have to question that. Like, he knows he's loved, even if he doesn't remember anything else. So
you're gonna make me cry. That's so sweet. What advice would you give someone else who's going through something similar to you?
I mean, I think one of the big things I already sort of said, which is think about the situation that they're in and try and apply it to your situation as much as possible. Always remember that at any point, anything can be taken away from you, including your memory, and that you really need to cherish what's going on in the moment. Additionally, I think it's really hard, and this is definitely something I still work through, but it's really hard not feeling guilty about things. When I moved to Providence, I did, and it's not that far from where I live, you know, back in Connecticut, but I did get some resistance to it because I was further away from him, and if I needed to get to him or whatnot or visit him, like, would I be doing it less frequently or would there be issues surrounding that? I just had to, like, I'm 25 years old. I still have to go on living my life. You know, as much as I love my dad and care for him and want to see him and be there for him, I still have to make decisions that are best for me and will make me happy. And I think it's a really hard balance at this point in life, you know, to take advantage of opportunities that you have without feeling like you're leaving your dad behind. And like I said, this is something that I still struggle with. Most people that have a dad with Alzheimer's are probably in their 40s or 50s or 60s themselves and, you know, are settled and have kids of their own and, you know, have planted their dad next to them or their mom next to them. It's a little easier that way, but like, I still have no idea what I want to do with my life. I'm a teacher, but, you know, maybe at some point I want to move to California or the Caribbean or something. Like, I don't know. I have to balance making decisions for myself, still being there for my dad, letting him know how much I love him, trying to support and take care of him as much as possible. So I think just know, like, if you're out there dealing with it and you feel this sense of guilt, that you're not alone and it's something that we all need to kind of continue to work on. But just, I think that I've found solace in thinking, like, what would my dad say if he wasn't in his own body, if he was on the outside watching?
Chills.
And I think that, you know, all he wants for me is to be happy. And if that was something that made me happy moving across the world or whatever it would maybe, I think that's something that he would want me to do. So,
yeah. And I love that. I think that that's a great piece of advice. I think that what you're going through is so raw. I think that, I mean, I can't even imagine being in such a transformative part of your life where you're basically just starting to be an adult and kind of developing your identity and then going through a sense of loss, kind of feeling like, okay, well, I haven't lost him 100% and he's still alive, but knowing that there is a sense of your dad that's not there like it was. And please, like, that's not to be like said in a way where I'm like, your dad's gone, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's physically here, but mentally he's not the dad that you had 10 years ago. I think that that would bring on a lot of emotion. I think it would bring on a lot of guilt, like you said. And I think your piece of advice is great. I think that the one thing you can take away from all this is if your dad was in his right mind, had the ability to give you his own advice, he would want you to do what would make you 100% happy. And he would never want you to not go and be and do all that you want to be and do because of him. And I think that anybody that knows your dad would know that he would back you on anything and anywhere you want to go. So I think that just knowing that in your heart that you have his support no matter what.
So this segment is going to be where I ask my guests to share a quote that resonates with them in their current situations.
So I picked a quote by Anne Frank. I'm sure we're all familiar with who she is. And the quote is, "I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains." To me, this quote really means that, you know, a lot of times we just naturally end up looking at what's really hard or what's troubling us. And to me, this quote is just saying, if we look at that, we're not going to be able to see the true beauty of any situation, because even in the worst of situations, there's still something that's to be learned or to be seen by us. And if we, you know, kind of acknowledge but put on the back burner all the things that are hard, then it makes it a little bit easier for us to see the light at the end of the tunnel, for lack of a better phrase. And that's kind of how I feel with my dad. Like, yes, the situation that I'm going through is not easy. It's challenging for myself, for my family, for my father, but we're all trying our very best to make the most of a really hard situation.
Your dad forever is going to be proud of the woman that you are and will become. Whether he's able to tell you that, remember that, whatever, you know that. And I think that if you continue doing what you're doing, you're only going to be able to find success from here on out. I think that you are the coolest person. You're like the best friend.
I had to pay her to say that.
Seriously, I think that you do such a good job of showing up. You're such a strong individual. I really felt like that quote was so spot on, I guess. We go through a lot of stuff. You're just starting and you're just showing up to get your life in order and you have to keep going. And I think that's the beautiful part about this is that you don't have any other option. You have to keep going. So I just think the world of you, Codes.
And I was going to say this, you know, this could be said for anybody. What you've just said is that we all have something that we're battling. Not everybody knows that you're battling something. And sometimes you just got to like keep going, keep chugging through it. Because like you said, there is no other choice, right? Got to make the most of what you've got. So you do the same as well with the loss of your brother. And we've all got that battle. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, to wrap it up, I just wanted to thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story. I know that it's not always the easiest. Sometimes it's actually, I think, very therapeutic. So I hope that you gain something out of this. If you want to drop your social handles, feel free.
Thanks for having me. And I want to drop my handle just because I'll never have the opportunity to do that again in
my life. Drop that handle.
It makes me feel famous. Go follow me on Instagram at DakAttack37.
Spell that. Spell it out for the viewers.
DakAttack37.
Yeah, baby. Alrighty. Thanks so much, Codes.
Hey, bye.
As always, you guys, you can listen to all of our shows at uptomeradio.com or from one of your favorite podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just search for Up To Me Radio, click on and follow my show. Don't forget, guys, I have an email inbox where you can send emails to me with either advice, questions, etc. And you can find that email at abuckley@uptomeradio.com. So again, we have our hope campaign going on. Take a picture, send it in. What does hope mean to you guys? Make sure you tag our Instagram. And then next episode on Friday, I have my high school friend Maddie coming on, and we're going to be talking about eating disorders and mental illness. So that's going to be a really, really powerful episode. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that. And I'll see you guys on Friday. Have a great rest of your week. Bye.